Your Bibles with you, we're turning to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. We thank our sister Joy for playing for us. And you have your Bibles with you, we're turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And we will be breaking in our reading at verse 27. And we'll be reading down to verse 38 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 27 to 38. Let us hear God's word. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 38, knowing that the Lord will add his blessing upon his own word for his own name's sake. Again, briefly, let us bow, unite our hearts in prayer, seeking God's face, asking him now for his help, individually and collectively, praying as one man under one head, for God to help us now as we consider what he would say to our hearts. Lord, our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, we thank thee for the hymns that we've sung already. We thank thee for the reading of Scripture. And we ask of thee now that thou wilt help in the preaching of divine truth and what thou would say to our hearts. We pray, O God, that thou wilt take away all distraction. We plead the blood against the enemy, against powers and principalities. We ask of thee that you'll draw graciously near. Lord, that our hearts would be fixed in thee, and that we would see thee afresh. Lord, hear and answer prayer. And we pray especially for the time of prayer. Lord, help us, lead us out in the throne of grace. Give prayer in God the Holy Spirit, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things, careful to give thee the praise and glory which is due thy name, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen. 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 We find in the passage that we have looked at here together our Lord's tender concern for the souls of men. We see him concerned to see them ignorant and careless and ready to perish. Verse 36 of Matthew 9 that we read, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Farmers, well, this is a farming community in Locke, and farmers would understand that there is no creature more apt to go astray than sheep. When one goes into the ditch, well, they all follow and go into the ditch. And when gone astray, none more helpless or none more able to find the way home again. Sinful souls are as lost sheep. They need the care of a shepherd to bring them back. A great deal of the work is to be done. Souls are to be saved. The harvest truly is plenteous, yet the point is the laborers are few. The solemn duty which lies upon each Christian and every Christian is to pray for more men, is to pray for more men to be raised up to the work for the conversion of souls. Yes, salvation is of the Lord, but that is through God's means, the preaching of the gospel. God uses men, instruments, in the affair of saving souls. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. As a way of a title, simply pray for men. Pray for men. Men who are faithful, diligent and industrious preachers of the gospel, such as lay out themselves, their time, talents and strength in their master's business, and do not indulge themselves in slothfulness or idleness. Firstly, they must be saved men. Yes, these things should go without saying, but it is vitally important that we state it. They must be saved men. There were few at this particular time. There were few that would deliver the mind of God at this particular time. It's true that there were plenty of idle Pharisees, scribes and priests that spent their time in teaching the people ceremonies and traditions. But the laborers were few. The very same thing is happening in our day. Unsaved men mounting the pulpits of our land, here, there, and pretty much everywhere. The point is, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Can the Pharisees, who are blinded with pride, prejudice, and bigotry, lead the blind people into the right way? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And therefore, those that are led by the common opinion, course, and custom of this world are themselves blind, and are led by the blind, and will perish with the world that is in darkness. The priests of our day, they cry out, "Do the best you can," preaching another gospel. This isn't the mind of God. For many of them, well, they know no better themselves, for they are blind themselves. It is true that we have many vacant pulpits across our churches. Many empty pulpits. But it is far better that they stay vacant. It is far better that they stay vacant than to have men preaching the philosophies of men instead of the whole counsel of God. And therefore, do you see the importance in praying for men? Praying for men. The importance of praying for men. Men who have experienced the new birth. And God forbid that the free church would ever have men behind its pulpits that are unsaved or any church affiliated with it. Pray ye therefore. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Secondly, and it will be briefly, they must be spiritual men. They must be spiritual men. The sad aspect of the times and the deplorable state into which precious souls are in, well, it should quicken prayer. The sad aspect of the times and the deplorable state of precious souls should quicken prayer. It should quicken prayer. When things look discouraging, we should pray the more. And so pray for men. Pray for men. Men of spiritual backbone. Men who will not compromise and are faithful to the blood and to the book. Men sent by God. Men sent by God. Sent into the harvest. Into the field of the world where God's elect lie and their labor in preaching the gospel, hoping for divine blessing and an almighty power to attend their ministry for the conversion of sinners and the edification of saints. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That the Lord of the harvest would send. In the original language, the Greek, that word send can be rendered thrust. To thrust out men. To send forth men. Men sent by God. This implying power. Efficacy. That's what it simply means, power. Implying power and authority on the part of the sender. You see, it is God that sends forth men. It is God that raises up men. And none, well, ought to thrust themselves into the work of the ministry till God thrust them out. And therefore, we need to pray for men. We need to pray for men. Hebrews 5:4, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, as our time is swiftly moving on, but Hebrews 5:4, it says this, And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And so God has given us, he has given us the very words to pray. He's given us the very words that we would bring back to him. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And thirdly and finally, they must be similar. They must be similar to that of the Saviour. Our Lord's tender concern for neglected souls. He saw the multitudes. He saw the multitudes of people when he was on this earth, scattered about like sheep having no shepherd. And he was moved with compassion. He saw them neglected by those who, for the time, ought to have been teachers. He saw them ignorant, hopeless, dying, and unfit to die. The sight moved him to deep pity because that loving heart could not see such things and not fail. The question is, what is our feelings? What is our feelings when we see such a sight? Many caught up in the superstition of Roman Catholicism, worshipping an idol that has nothing of a real deity in it. Christless Protestants marching on in the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Do we feel tenderly concerned about their souls? Do we deeply pity their spiritual destitution? Do we really see the plight into which men are found at present? Truly, these are searching questions for us all to answer. God, give me a heart like thine, a heart divine. This is my desire. To give me a heart like Christ's. For where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no public declaration of God's truth, where there's no instruction in God's truth, where there is no preaching, the people perish. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Christ came to save that which was lost. And the gospel of Christ is sent to save precious souls. And if this does not find and save them, they are lost forever. For they must never expect anything else to save them, for there is no other method or means of salvation. There is no other by which sinful souls can be saved, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Therefore, pray for men. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray for men similar to that of the Savior. That's my desire. That's my own desire. Robert Murray McShane, mighty man of God, died at the age of 29 years of age, went to be with his Lord, left this scene of time at the age of 29. And we wouldn't be presumptuous to say that He probably saw more done for God than all of us put together in this room. His motto in life was that it is not great talents that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus Christ. For an holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. Murray McShane, that preacher from Scotland, he most certainly practiced what he preached. Because when he died and left this scene of time, the ungodly, they record it in the Scottish newspapers of that day, Jesus has left Scotland. Jesus has left Scotland. Such was the man's likeness to Jesus Christ. We come back to where we started. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. May the Lord bless these small and brief thoughts to our own hearts for his own name's sake. Let us get down to prayer.